Chris from Milton Keynes asks, "Hi Mark and Joe, I'm curious to know your thoughts on the effectiveness of anchoring. I understand that it's based on the work of Pavlov, and the technique is basically pairing physical touch with a positive feeling. However, scientific tests have shown its effect to be one of placebo and very short-lived. Obviously, any technique has its limitations, but I'm interested to know if you've had any feedback from clients on the benefit of anchoring. Thank you, Chris."
Okay, Chris, and thanks for the question. And any technique that works, even if it only works for a short time, will only work if it's based on pre-existing psychological patterns. So I would say that anchoring isn't, it might be, purportedly based on Pavlov's research, but it's really based on mammalian, or in fact, all creatures in the universe, pattern match, I'll sort of talk a little bit about that in a second. So this is why, we say that hypnosis happens anyway in all kinds of therapy, regardless of the presence or otherwise of a trained hypnotherapist, and because of course a counselor will direct the attention of their clients, sometimes onto the past, sometimes to the extent that the room disappears and they forget, any state of mind in which you're not fully focused on the present time and moment is a sort of trance state more or less. Okay, so if you're asking people to think about the past or their emotional problems and so forth, you're inviting them into a sort of a trance. Okay, it might not be a recognizable trance to someone who doesn't know much about hypnosis, but it's a trance nevertheless. So that's a human, tendency or pattern to be abstracted and to imagine stuff about the future, or to, sort of forget where they are on one level and be fantasizing about somewhere else, is a hypnotic capacity. Okay, so hypnosis is, for example, is based on patterns of human reality. Okay, as is pattern matching or a placebo. So placebo plays a role, as it did with even with Pavlov's dogs. And what we're talking about with placebo is unconscious expectation, which can be highly powerful. So it's not a conscious expectation, but an unconscious one. So the psychological and physical principle that anchoring attaches itself to, okay, is of course pattern matching, which can be extremely powerful. So it makes sense to form a technique or an overt technique, or in fact many different techniques around this basic human principle of experience. So we can't really avoid anchoring. Okay, so all psychotherapists will use anchoring without knowing it. The very therapy room may become an anchor to feel a certain way. A client once told me that it spent years going to a therapist who made him cry every week, and by suggesting that he sort of think about all the painful events in his life over and over. Okay, and this therapist was in a sense hypnotically regressing this client to past pain and getting him very good at feeling this pain. And this client told me that, in the end, he'd just cry by going into the therapist's office. Even if the therapist hadn't arrived yet, he'd sit there and he'd start crying. And he said it's something about the room itself. And of course it was, because the association had been built up in a Pavlovian way. You're in a certain room, and whenever you're there, you feel a certain way, and you feel, after a while, the room itself can produce the pattern match. The pattern of the room can produce a pattern of emotional response within you, and we have a pattern match. So I asked him to imagine this person's room, what it looked like. And he started to well up just by picturing the room in his imagination, just by recalling it. And so that would be an anchor. Okay. And that was part of my therapy with him, was getting him over that sort of experience. On a personal level, I salivated for years, even as a young adult, whenever I heard a key turning in a lock. Because as a child, my mother had always bought me a chocolate bar when she returned home from work, because she felt guilty because she wasn't at home when I returned from school. She was a latchkey. Latchkey kid, I didn't care, but there was an anchor that lasted for years, for me, okay, because of the repetition. Smokers become anchored or pattern match to all kinds of things which become anchored to the desire to smoke, you know, a kind of placebo or expectation that they have, which can also last for a long time sometimes. You know, phobics can be anchored to the side of a spider for decades, you know, if the pattern match has been instilled in them powerfully, even just once sometimes. So certainly the principle of anchoring or pattern matching is extraordinarily powerful. You know, some people with phobic or PTSD triggers affect them for decades. You know, so the principle is powerful. Now, if an anchor or pattern match installation, okay, it's a very technical way of looking at it, but the point at which the anchor is applied through life or through therapy, if the experience is really intense, then you don't need to repeat the anchor over and over in order for it to stick. Okay, so the equation is high intensity equals low repetition, low intensity equals the necessity for high repetition. You know, for example, a client I know had experienced one time of feeling terrified up high when she was four, and she didn't come to me. She was a demonstration subject in a workshop at the age of 60, so for 56 years, just from a one-off associative experience, just from that anchoring occurring. But on the other hand, many smokers build up their pattern matches over time, over repetition and repetition and repetition. So just one cigarette with one coffee isn't necessarily going to mean that anchor's going to stick, that from now on it's going to feel weird to have a coffee without a cigarette because you've only done it once. You might have to do it for years and years and years before it feels impossible to have a cup of coffee or a beer or a break at work or whatever without the cigarette. So the two become anchored together. Okay, pattern match together. And you know, part of what we do with smoking cessation is to disentangle those pattern matches. And in fact, mainly what we're doing is you know, a lot of therapy is about taking the charge out of these anchors, these naturally occurring anchors. Now, you know, and you might have to hear an advertising jingle many, many times before it becomes anchored to a particular product, you know, that you think of when you, or you think of that jingle when you see the product, you know, and that's a sort of post-hypnotic response. Now, as far as applying anchoring as a technique, I'll tend to use it more subtly. I know on the Uncommon Hypnotherapy course online, I sort of demonstrate it in a very standard kind of obvious physical way. Okay, but generally when I'm doing therapy, I won't necessarily do the squeeze your fingers together technique, and you know, whilst you're you know, hypnotically experiencing, feeling wonderful and so forth. Although that can be pretty powerful because it can neutralize other experiences. So it's not necessarily that the anchor itself will last for a long time. But, I mean, really what you want the anchor to be, you really want it to be training wheels or stabilizers on a bicycle. You know, they're great for a while, but afterwards you don't really need them. So, for example, if you're doing the anchoring technique and you say to someone, you know, I really want you, on the count of three, you can bring the thumb and finger together and really notice what it's like to get a sense of that wonderful feeling of achievement that you were telling me about before, all over your body, but even more amplified than ever and so forth. And you do that a few times, and then you get them to imagine going into a situation which had been difficult for them in the past, maybe meetings at work or something, but with thumb and finger now being pressed together and noticing all the differences in that situation with those good feelings. So what you're doing is not so much that the thumb and finger together anchor has got to last for years and years and years, but what you're doing is you're beginning to take the charge out of the negative anchor, the meetings at work, which is also an anchor, you know, so you're really using stabilizers to get the momentum going so that they're no longer scared of movement in that sense. So that's the way I would look at an anchor, but I like to use anchoring more subtly. You know, I told one woman a story about a wise calm owl, okay, and I linked it to her overcoming her anxiety in the workplace as well. She's also getting anxious at work. And she had no conscious memory of the story, or the metaphorical anchor, if you like, which was delivered, you know, as part of a story. But she told me subsequently that she had the feeling of calmly being above everything when she was at work. And the fleeting image of a beautiful owl had come to mind. And she didn't know why, but it just made her feel safe and strong and able. And, you know, so that was one way of using an anchor. And it's not like she always has to get a sense of being above everything you know, with perspective you know, having an image of an owl come to mind. But that was a sort of a stabilizer, you know, to neutralize the other anchor, all these anchors at work that she's feeling, she had been making her feel anxious. I suggested to a smoker once, and his, actually, this is a technique I use with lots of smokers, but I suggested his lungs could talk to him about those cigarettes, you know, that were having to, the lungs were having to deal with, and the lungs had never had any say in the matter. You know, and I sort of suggested he just listen to his lungs in trance and get their perspective on that smoking. Okay, and he reported later that the cigarettes had tried to win him back once, but it had such a heavy feeling of reluctance in his lungs. It's like his lungs, they didn't really hurt, but they just felt very, very heavy. And kind of, he described it as reluctant. And he just didn't want to give those cigarettes house room. So that anchor could work for a while until it becomes normal not to smoke. So it's not as if he always needs to, whenever he hears about cigarettes, needs to get that heavy feeling in his lungs. But it's a sort of temporary, you know, sort of bridge, if you like, to a healthier life. So metaphors act as anchors, especially in the hypnotized subject. So it's not a question of whether we use anchoring or not, but how we use it, because it'll happen anyway. And it happens absolutely all the time. You know, you have certain associations with the words I'm using, which is why you can understand every single word that I'm speaking, more or less, because you have past associations to them. So pattern matching is how we sort of perceive reality, really, and we can't avoid it. But I wouldn't necessarily use the physical anchor. But when we do, you can think about it in a different way, that it's a bridge towards neutralizing another negative anchor. So that's my way of looking at it anyway. But yes, I have had clients come back and say that anchoring's been really powerful when I have used it more explicitly, if you like that.